no phone. Don't need no speedy car to get me home. Don't need no nothing, all I need is time for the simple life. Go get your butt off of that lazy couch. Put down a laptop and get out of that house. Don't need no nothing, all I need is time for the simple life.
Welcome to Simple Life Radio, stories for the adventurous at heart. I'm Cynthia Fernandez, your host for this hour. We're going to be focused on the real life experiences and perspectives of the folks of the Central Coast of California. This show was born from the love of story and storytelling and a desire for a deeper connection with all living things, one person at a time. Archive shows are now available on YouTube and also Podbean, channel Simple Life Radio, one word. Carmel was originally known as an artist community, and that identity is still a dominant aspect of the town today. You know, across the street from the bookstore at Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden, we have a really great neighbor, the Carmel Art Association Gallery. And the gallery, for those of you who don't know this already, really founded like 1927, ancient gallery for Carmel. It's actually their oldest gallery. And they feature work from more than 100 professional local artists. They're dedicated to presenting only the finest work for sale by artists living on the Monterey Peninsula. And the Art Association displays a wide variety of styles and media and changes its exhibits every month. In fact, I should mention now that they will be having an open reception this evening, September 7th, from 5 to 7 p.m., right across the street from the bookstore at the Art Association Gallery. So come on by, pop in and say hello to Doreen and Paul. We're open there at the bookstore until 7 p.m. as well. Our guest today is one of those such artists, Pamela Takagawa. She is a Monterey, California-based artist who specializes in watercolor prints and natural and oceanic environments. Welcome. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me here.
It's really nice to have you here, Pam. Yeah, I'd love it if you would tell us where you first got your inspiration for your art, and has it changed over the years?
Well, I wanted to be an artist, I think, from very early age, really young. My parents had my portrait painted when I was about 4 years old.
Aww.
And I had to sit in the studio with the artist. And he was a family friend, so it was pretty comfortable, although all the other kids were out running around and playing while I was having to sit still. But I remember the first day he had laid down the underpainting, and it was in sort of a maroon red, and it was very, shall we say, modernistic looking. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that and I thought, oh dear, I was too polite to say, well, that doesn't look like me.
Uh-huh.
You know, I didn't realize we were going to go forward, you know. But as the process progressed over a week or two, I was just taken by the magic of him laying down layer upon layer until it actually looked like me and the red underpainting was completely gone. And it just seemed so magical, and I loved the colors on the palette of the ink and all the different brushes.
Mm.
And so I decided then that I was going to be an artist when I grew up.
No way, at 4 years
yeah.
old.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So all along I drew and painted, you know, sometimes not as consistently because of life intervening and
right.
that sort of thing. But it's always been something I wanted to do and have done. And my subject matter, I think, began also really young. Well, owls, for one thing, or birds. I can remember I grew up in Southern California, and lying in bed on a hot summer night, probably like this, with the windows open, and listening to cooing doves, mm. that summer sound of cooing
yeah.
doves. And also we had a great horned owl somewhere outside, and I would hear it. And so that made me want to know more and love birds. And walking with my mom, we would pick up feathers and stones and shells if we were at the beach and that sort of thing, and really started to appreciate the small things and the simple things,
mm-hmm. you know. Well, we like to hear that on Simple Life Radio.
Yeah.
And have you found that that's been fairly consistent over the years?
Yes. When I started painting, I started in watercolor, and I painted a lot of the things that I had collected, shells and feathers and pieces of seaweed, and then also birds, mostly owls, because I've always been really attracted to them. Now I'm branching out all birds, you know, or as many birds as I see on my feed, or I'm learning about them. But
wow.
It's been consistently the small, precious things that maybe we might pass by if we're going too fast.
So things that are easily overlooked or perhaps mm-hmm. taken for granted mm-hmm. are the things that you're particularly drawn to.
Yes. Yes.
That's beautiful.
And especially birds, because I wish I could fly, and I'm a little bit jealous.
Well, I can appreciate that. Now, is there any particular places or events that actually inspire you the most?
Well, right now I have a bird feeder and a bird bath that if I'm sitting at my computer, I just can look right over the top of it and at my home in Carmel Valley, and I'm really inspired by sometimes 20 goldfinches are on my feeder all at once, and others trying to get on. So that is inspiring. I also love the desert, and so Santa Fe has been a place that inspires me, and when I'm there lately, I try to go out and look at the birds that are native to that area. But I moved here really because this area was inspiring and because of the artist community. Mm-hmm. So anywhere I go in this neighborhood, in this beautiful place we live, I find lifts me up and gives me something to look at and want to capture on paper.
You know, it is such an abundance of natural beauty. I myself was also drawn to this particular area specifically because there's so much natural beauty, and it's not overcrowded, at least not compared to where I came from in Silicon Valley.
Mm, yes.
There's, in Carmel, no street lights, so you can actually see the stars at night.
That's right.
And yeah. It just seems as though all of the residents have that shared appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it makes for a wonderful neighborhood. Now, I should mention that our guest today, Pamela Takagawa, and her husband, Jerry Takagawa, will be having a exhibit showing beginning September 28th with a reception 5 to 7 p.m. at the Cheesebro Tasting Room in Carmel Valley on Carmel Valley Road. And it will have the exhibit up then until November 2nd. So that's September 28th through November 2nd for the exhibit. And the reception for the artists will be from 5 to 7 p.m. on Saturday, September 28th. Now, how is it for you that your husband is also an artist?
It's really wonderful. We don't work in the same medium. He is a photographer. He did study painting, but quickly moved into photography. But he, because of the sensibilities and the language, it's really wonderful to share, and you know, we get it from each other. We have great conversations about
color.
Well, not so much, but the invitation for that card wasn't really planned out, and it just ended up being good color. So I think we influence each other
a little bit.
Yeah. So we didn't pick them because they went together, for instance, but we do the philosophy, the creative spirit. It's, we have some really nice conversations, and he's very supportive, and I am of his work as well.
It seems like that would be a natural fit because your value system is so aligned, mm-hmm. and your perspective is at least similar, mm-hmm. as artists. So, you know, rather than being partnered with a math professor.
Oh, that would be bad for me. Well, actually, it would be good. He could do all the math. which I'm not good at.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
What do you hope to communicate with your work, Pam?
Well, from the very beginning, I wanted people to slow down. I hoped that by making intimate sort of almost portraits of the little things that we were talking about, people would slow down and take a look, and not just look at my work, but then that would transfer to them taking a walk outside or sitting in their window and noticing birds. And by that appreciation, I guess I have the hope that that awareness will help be protective of the environment and the animals and birds and beings, all the beings, plants and flowers and everything here, that will be appreciative and protect them, because a lot of it is in danger at this point.
And that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And, you know, we have been known for making great strides in industrial ways. Mm-hmm. Corporations and used to be major manufacturing in United States of America. And things have gotten so fast that I don't think we've remembered.
That's, yes.
We've lost track and kind of forgotten that trees actually grow from a seed.
Uh-huh.
And that's over hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the songbirds in our yard have to fight every day to stay alive.
And they migrate from so far away. It's just, I've been reading, I just finished a book called A Year on the Wing by Tim D, I believe is his name. He lives in England, but he talks about seeing a bird in England that he knows had flown over the Sahara Desert into the jungle to nest, and then it's fly or to winter over, and then comes back to England. And you know, I mean, it's just so amazing, and I don't think we think about that all so much. Unless,
which is so great for you to just bring our eyes to it.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. And if it's nothing more than just appreciation or they think it's pretty, that's okay too. It's subtle. My message is done in a subtle way, I guess.
It is. It's very clean and pure. I noticed something on your website that talked about how you work with, let me find it here, monotype prints are transferred to paper with printer's ink on an etching press, but unlike etching, the woodblock print surfaces are devoid of scratching or carving, and that you actually create your images by inking the plates and then wiping away the areas that will be left free of ink on the paper.
Uh-huh. So, yes, that's how I do it. It's reductive process. And I'm not really even sure how one of the reasons I do it that way is I can get these very feathery marks.
Yeah.
Like bird feathers by wiping the ink away with little cheesecloth-y things and that sort of thing. So, and then I also like the collaborative. People might say, well, why are you painting on the plate? And why don't you just paint? And I do some of that as well, but I like the collaboration of the press, because once you put the paper down on top of the plate that you've
painted
and you're looking through it, you aren't really sure what is going to come off onto the paper. So the press is sometimes a good partner most of the time, and sometimes she doesn't want to play, and then you toss it away or tear it down. But that surprise and that collaboration I really like.
But in any case, it's a surprise when you open the
when
paper
you pull the
away
paper
from
off.
The press.
Yeah, it's really like Christmas.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, we are talking with Pamela Takagawa. She is a local artist, and she will be having a reception September 28th, 5 to 7 on a Saturday in Carmel Valley. And Pam, if people want to get in touch with you directly, how do they do that?
They can contact me through email, and it's pretty easy, except that my last name is Takagawa, but it's phonetic. So it's Pamela at PamelaTakagawa.com.
Perfect. Yeah. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Simple Life Radio after this break. And we're back in studio with Pamela Takagawa, local artist, and we are discussing owls. As one of her subjects. I've noticed, Pam, that there's a lot of owls. In fact, I remember a few years ago at the Carmel Art Association, you did a demonstration using your press and inks and paper, and you were just like in the zone. Like there were no people staring at you. And there were so many variations of owls. What is the significance for you?
Their mystery and being mostly, not all owls, but mostly birds of the night, that mysterious quality, I think, attracted me at first. But then as I got to looking at them, they're also, their eyes are on the front of their face. And when I started drawing and painting them, they really had personality. I might do it, pull the paper off to make a picture of the owl, and surprisingly see a personality there.
Wow.
And they're like people's faces in a way. They have expressions. And so because of that front facing, then I started reading about them. And they're very amazing creatures. Wesley the owl.
You probably have that at the bookstore.
Oh, I recommend that. That's about a woman who raised a baby barn owl. And you learn all about owls' behavior and that sort of thing. But I think the mystery and their silent flight, they have special feathers that have like little hairs along the leading edge of the wing. Just because you don't see them that often, although I have seen quite a few, and in some really unusual situations, driving one time in Marin during the, it was about 10 o'clock in the morning on this beautiful road, and it had been raining, and I mean, it was like a movie, you know, how they hose the streets down and everything's drippy and shiny, but it was all natural, and there was a big great horned owl sitting right in the middle of the road, and it hadn't captured or anything. Maybe it had tried, I don't know. And it just turned and looked at me, and we stared. I stopped my car, you know, good distance away, and it just stared at me, and I stared back. And after, gosh, I think it was 2 minutes or so, luckily nobody was behind me, it just lifted off and flew up into the tree. And I've had many experiences like that, unexpected, with owls daytime, and to me that's like a mitzvah, you know, a blessing.
Yeah.
Real blessing.
Yeah. In some traditions there is something called animal medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if perhaps you have that or carry that.
I think I must. I have owls that my mom gave me, sculptures from way back, you know, because I've always liked them. And now my house, I have really a lot of owls all over the place. I look like a crazy owl lady.
Or Hogwarts.
Yeah, Hogwarts. Yes, Hedwig. God bless her. So I think it's been something, not all cultures have owls as a positive thing.
That's true.
But even as a harbinger of death, which, you know, something we all face, I wouldn't mind.
The spirit world.
The spirit world, yes. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind having an owl come to me and wing me off into the
netherworld.
Yes, yeah. That would be fine. So even the darker aspects, it's wisdom. Athena's totem is and companion is an owl.
That's right.
So
and Sinbad,
yes,
was often rescued or helped out with his golden owl.
Yeah,
it's amazing how all of your owl images, even though you use a similar palette, at least you did that day of the demonstration, the color is somewhat similar. They are so different, And I see you with the press, you just blop, 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 smidge, 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 paper.
Mm-hmm. Roll it through.
Now, what was the impetus to have you transition from painting to print work?
I was always attracted to printmaking. There's something about the flatness of it. I'm not exactly sure why, but the quality, and I love paper, so that's why I started with watercolor, I think. But I took printmaking at UCSC, and we were involved with etching and all the different variations. But I love to paint, and I like getting my hands into things. So some of the marks that I make now with my monotypes is made with my hands and fingers, the palm of my hand, and that sort of thing. So I loved finger painting as a child. Well, so it's still finger painting.
And it's wonderfully tactile.
Yeah, it is. It's great. And making those marks, I like making marks in the ink. So then I stopped going to UCSC. I didn't have a press. And there was a long time between printmaking there and painting. I painted in between. And one day I was with a friend, Ken. We were doing these weekly go look at art things together. And we went to La Mirada, and there was a beautiful show of Armin Hansen's etchings at La Mirada. And I remember walking around, and I can still hear in my head this whine. I was like, whining. I said to Ken, why can't I do printmaking anymore? I wish I could do printmaking. And he turned to me and he said, well, I think they have it at MPC now. And yeah. I had gone there and they didn't have printmaking, but Robin Smith started this printmaking program, which has turned into a fabulous thing. She and several other teachers she's gotten teaches all the dimensions and kinds of printmaking. And we have a print club. We have people from all over the world that are in the club. Once you give your email, you're in the club. It's a very, and we have shows and things like that. So that moment, looking at that Armin Hansen, got me back into printmaking, and then I bought a small press for myself eventually.
Wow. So right here at MPC, there's a class that you would recommend.
Yes, there's quite a few classes there.
Can you mention any others that you...
Evelyn Klein has a studio. She opens to students, but the monotype printmaking class is my style of printing. But all of them, it's good to learn all the techniques, I think, and then you find what your favorite is. Like anything, you know, you should know how to draw and paint and all of it. And then you find your own voice and what works for your personality and style and what you're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Our guest today is Pamela Takagawa from Monterey, California. She is specializing in watercolor prints of natural and oceanic environments, and also one of the artists at the Carmel Art Association, which, as I mentioned earlier, is having an open reception, if you didn't already know, tonight from 5 to 7 p.m., an open reception at the Carmel Art Association Gallery located in downtown Carmel on Dolores between 5th and 6th. Right across from the bookstore. So, Pamela, you are just so talented, and your story about how you began your journey as an artist from a very young age of 4 years old or so, what kinds of challenges have you had in your journey? I mean, it seems like everything's so easy for you.
No. First of all, it was hard, you know, making a living. Would kind of interfere with being able to do art every day. And because I said as early as 4 that I wanted to be an artist when I grew up, I had a very wonderful career as a hairstylist, haircutter. It afforded me free time, so I was able to keep up with my drawing skill, at least, and my watercolor. But I could never do it full time, and I was approaching my 50th birthday, and 2 years before that I had small studio, one of those super sheds, and brought onto the property. It's like a playhouse for me.
Yeah.
It's tiny. And then I had a friend fix the inside and put cabinets and that sort of thing. Jerry's father, that was his last project, was making my cabinets.
Aww.
It was really sweet. So I had my studio, and I was going to be 50. And this little light bulb went on, and the voice said, "Well, when are you going to grow up and be an artist? You know, it's time's a wasting here. You're not going to have a lot of time left if you don't grow up now." So I actually quit my job, or sold my part of my business to my partner, thankfully, and started going to the studio every day, or trying to. And it is hard to get to the studio every day. Life seems to want to interfere, and but because it's there, I can leave a mess and walk away from it and go in and just do a few minutes. And so having a space, I know I have friends who don't have a designated or dedicated space, and that is a harder thing to get to it. And then just facing the blank page is a daily occurrence, and what am I going to paint, and what do I want to say, and how am I going to do it? And when I first started being consistent, I had, it's not so much anymore, but I had this negative talk in my head, critical me, and almost every stroke I put down or mark I made, I would hear this, "Oh, that's not very good," or, "Oh, that isn't going to work," some kind of bad person inside there. So I found, I remembered kindergarten. So all this starts when I was really little, and how much I liked to draw, and the teacher read to us. So I started getting books on tape.
Oh, what a great idea.
And as long as I had a book on tape, my brain...
Your mental chatter.
Yeah, it just stopped it. So I listened to a lot of books on tape, and now I think it broke the habit. Now I listen to books on tape sometimes just because I want to.
Sure.
But I'm not as critical, so I recommend that to people if they're having that. Try that. Try listening to books on tape. And I listen to all kinds, mysteries, things that I like listening to things I wouldn't normally read. And the mysteries kept my attention.
So it kept your cognitive thinking sort of occupied.
Yes.
While your other part of your brain could just flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't start a painting with that on, though. I had to know what I was going to do and be quiet first. Pick a bird or pick an owl or whatever it was, a piece of seaweed, and then turn on the tape and go.
Go.
Yeah.
I think I read somewhere, maybe on your website, that you start your work with finding inner quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Would you walk us through perhaps your process to do that?
Well, often the first thing I do is sweep the floor.
I love sweeping the floor.
And it centers, and it sort of, I take ownership of the space. Sometimes I dust the cobwebs, and then I'll sit down and, I light up some incense. I have a little altar with things on it in my studio. I have actually a brush from the artist that painted my portrait.
Aww.
His wife, when he died, she sent me a brush. And that's a treasure. I have a brush from the woman who taught me to watercolor, and picture of her. So I have all these mentors and muses. And I light incense on my altar, and then I sit down at my chair and look out the window. I have a great view out the window, and just try to get still. And if I don't do that, it's very hard to start.
That's so interesting.
Very hard to start. So that's my routine if I'm not in a rush.
Mm.
And sometimes I forget. It's just crazy, but...
Well, as you're describing your process for that real centering, quiet place inside, it strikes me that you perhaps make a gesture or an invitation to connect one with the outside and actually be that conduit to convey the message.
That's a good way to put it. I think that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
So nature is your muse.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm most comfortable outside and in the trees and or looking through the windows. I'm not a city gal.
Not a city gal.
No.
Well, we are here with Pamela Takagawa. I mentioned earlier, I will mention again, that she and her husband, Jerry Takagawa, are putting on an art exhibition in Carmel Valley at the Cheesebro Tasting Room beginning September 28th through November 2nd. And there will be a reception for the artists on Saturday, September 28th from 5 to 7 p.m. So if you'd like more information, you can send an email to Pamela@PamelaTakagawa.com. And we'll be right back with more on Simple Life. Stay with us. If you're just joining us, our guest today, Pamela Takagawa, is a local Monterey-based artist who specializes in watercolor prints of natural and oceanic environments. And she also does, is it printmaking?
Printmaking.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I want to learn more about that. So, Pam, before we went to break, I was wondering to myself, listening to you describe the process that you use when you do printmaking, did you actually sort of modify things you were taught to come up with that specific process?
Yes, although monotype is an old process that has sort of a renaissance, I guess you would say, since the 40s and increasing now. But as I've done it, I've found things that make marks that I like, and I have little secrets. For instance,
Well, don't tell if it's
okay,
a secret.
Oh,
no, it's okay.
We're going to share secrets.
Okay,
at the Southern Graphics Council in San Francisco. I think it's in March.
Oh, in March.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Printmakers from all over the United States are coming to a conference, so.
So it sounds like you could really sort of play around with trying different materials or tools to make those marks on the ink once you put the ink on the press.
On the plate.
On the plate.
Yes. And I use plexiglass most of the time because I hold the plate up
so you can
with
see.
The ink so you can see through when you make a mark. The light comes through. It's really
right.
Nice.
And I was
so I
wondering
see what you're
about
doing.
That.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I know people who use zinc plates and you can't really see through them.
Right.
But I like the plexiglass. And
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Have you ever thought about teaching or sharing with other artists this technique that you've derived?
Yes. I have done a teaching bit, and I think as my time and space now it seems to be opening up and I have time to do, I've been kind of precious with my time.
Good for you.
So, but there seems to be more time. So I would be interested. I like working with people. I would love to share what I have learned, and it is fun. We've done it at the Art Association, and I probably will be doing something in the next 6 months or so there. And it's just an afternoon, and people can come and put their hands in the ink.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And how do people hear about that if they want to know?
They could go online to see the Carmel Art Association. It's carmelart.org. We have a website, and anything, things that are offered there are on that website. And if people are interested, if I ever get started, they could email me, give me their email, and if I start doing something, I will put them on the list and they'll know.
Wonderful. And if you have trouble getting a hold of Pamela Takagawa, please just let us know at the bookstore and we'd be happy to communicate that for you. And so, Pamela, your work is on exhibit now at Carmel Art Association?
Yes, there's always something there. That's the wonderful part about the Art Association is that we have a space and we get to keep our work in a specific space. And every month we bring in new work and it gets hung. And in fact, the oceanic part, I have started to do some seascape landscape and skyscapes because I'm looking up all the time at the clouds. I'm really fascinated and see the birds flying through the clouds. So now I'm into the sky and clouds.
That's beautiful.
In a big way.
Well, and that's very interesting use of color.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have as wide a range, of course, as you would doing a bouquet.
No. But some of the sunsets from my house in Carmel Valley are pretty amazing. And I also think, oh, if I do that color, people will think I just made that up. But then that's what art's about.
Yeah, that's right. That's what art's about. So if you're listening and you'd like to see some of Pamela's work at the Carmel Art Association, they're having an opening reception this evening, September 7th, from 5 to 7 p.m. And there are a couple of other artists, I think, being focused on. But, of course, you have opportunity to wander through the entire gallery.
And meet artists.
And meet
and
artists,
talk to them.
They'll be there. And
yes,
you'll be there.
I'll be there.
You can meet Pamela tonight.
Yes.
I need to just make sure we don't run out of time and ask you about your favorite all-time book.
That was hard to decide because I love books as much as I love art. But ooh. I chose Fahrenheit 451 because I do love books. And I love that part of that book. Well, it's about censorship, for one, that I am totally opposed to censorship, especially of classics and good literature. But the part about the people memorizing a book, that's how I chose my book, because I thought, well, what would I memorize? What do I love enough that I would memorize the whole book? And it would be Fahrenheit 451 as a cautionary tale, that we don't lose books and writers and be ignorant, because books educate us and we can't be fooled if we're educated.
Well, and we can, you know, travel and live vicariously through other people and other cultures even around the world that just open up the inner world and the ability to maybe relate, maybe have compassion, maybe have inspiration about how things could be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always wanted an owl, but I probably never will, so I read Wesley.
Yeah.
And got to sort of have an owl. That's the experience that that woman had.
That's right.
And some of them, I was glad I wasn't having them. I'm squawking in the middle of the night.
Yeah, there are aspects that one doesn't always think of.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I do think it educates us.
Uh-huh. And what are you reading now?
I'm reading Queen of Heaven by Luis Alberto Urrea. And I'm never reading just one book, and because I feel like, well, I would just read fiction all the time because I love stories. But then I feel like I should also, there's other things I'm interested in.
Yeah.
So I'm also reading A Poetry Handbook by Mary Oliver that I just got at your store.
Yes.
And it's wonderful because I'll be taking a poetry workshop in the fall. And then I'm reading A Pebble for Your Pocket by Thich Nhat Hanh. It's for children and adults. And every morning I'm reading a story. It's such a sweet book. It's so simple and deliciously written for kids. And I think, you know, we're all kids when it comes to some part of our consciousness.
Well,
and it goes in a simple way, and then I am able to think about it all day long.
And how nice as an adult to have that kind of approach to the world through the simplicity available to children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. It's a great reminder that life can be simple.
Uh-huh.
And at its roots, at its best, it really is simple. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we make it complicated.
That's true. That's true. But yeah. I am really enjoying Queen of Heaven. I read Hummingbird's Daughter, I think, is the first one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I recommend that too.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad to hear that. You know, we at Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden, the store is actually in its 45th year. It's been independently owned and operated the whole time, but not by Paul and myself. But we're a small store, and we get some of our best books in the store from people who have read things and recommended them.
Mm-hmm.
And including book groups, you know, reading groups.
Yes.
There's a different kind of a book that is best suited to a reading group.
That's true. But I find some of my best books by going to your store, the Mary Oliver, and, you know, so just walking the shelves and looking at things, it just leaped, that one leaped off the shelf to me the day I brought my mom.
Oh, right.
For her to pick up her book.
Well, I have heard that on more than one occasion.
Yeah.
That just, you know, and actually because Carmel is visited by people from all over, mm-hmm. I do hear the lamenting about how wherever they live, they've lost their local bookstore, and that it's so different to come into a store and have the experience of hands-on and have the experience to converse with mm-hmm. the owners or the staff people that work there who actually know the books.
That's right.
There's no replacement for that if you go online and order it at half the price.
No.
And that's really kind of an unfortunate trade-off. I don't think people have been conscious about, you know, that's really the trade-off.
Yes, you're not talking to people and, it's impersonal. It's also why I love to go to my bank in Mid Valley, and I've been going there 23 years, and the tellers are some of them the same, and they know me.
Isn't that the best feeling?
Instead of an ATM, you know, getting a book online is like going to an ATM machine and spits something out at you.
yeah, for sure.
So you can't touch the book and see the cover and, you know, the smell of the ink, and I still like paper.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just think that you have a marvelous life.
I do. I'm blessed. I love my life.
You know, you and your husband, Jerry, who share a lot of the same values, who live in a beautiful place and translate your experiences through art.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate your sharing with us that your intention is to draw people's attention to the simplicity in life and the natural beauty of things that really do need our mm-hmm. awareness to appreciate, to mm-hmm. protect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They need our care.
Yeah.
We need to care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I hope that you consider teaching.
Thank you. I with your encouragement, might be the next thing I do.
That would be lovely. And who knows, I might end up in your class.
Okay, good. That'll be great. Love
Well, it. Yeah, we getting a little bit short on time. I don't want to run out like I did last week, but do want to make sure that everyone knows that Pamela Takagawa and her husband, Jerry Takagawa, will be having a reception for the artists at the Cheesebro Wine Tasting Room, and that is located on 19 East Carmel Valley Road, Suite D, 5 to 7 on that Saturday, September 28th. So definitely come on by. You will be able to meet with her and ask whatever questions I was not able to ask today that you might be interested in. And then as well, she'll be at the opening reception this evening at Carmel Art Association Gallery, located in downtown Carmel on Dolores between 5th and 6th, right across the street from the bookstore. So come on by the bookstore and say hello. Let us know you heard the interview today. That would be great. And I should also let you know about the other events that are going to be going on at the store later this month. We do have a couple of author book signings scheduled, one for next Saturday, September 14th. We have a meet and greet with Lita Sanford, who is the author of Look for the Moon in the Morning. a book that she will have with her from 1 to 3 in the afternoon on Saturday, September 14th. And we're collaborating with the wine tasting room, the Caraccioli Cellars on Dolores on the other side of ocean from us. And they have a local author book signing the last Thursday of each month. And so this month, September, the artist will be Annette McGowan, and she authored a book called The Art of Tasting Wine. I think that might be a nice setting.
Yeah, sounds perfect.
For that. And so that will be Thursday, September 26th, 6 to 8 p.m., located at the Caraccioli Cellars on Dolores between Ocean and 7th. And then if you're not getting notices, which we send out on email or post on our bulletin board in the bookstore, and you would like to get them on email, just give us a call or send us an email. Our website, pilgrimsway.com, has a little, you know, I want to get email subscription on there. Or you could give us a call at 831-624-4955 and just give us your email address. We don't share your information, so you don't have to worry about that. And the emails will keep you up to date on what's coming out through the bookstore. So, you know, I wonder if there's any last maybe snippet, Pamela, of information that people would not ordinarily know about art that you could share with us.
Well, they might know this already, but I don't think people think about it. There is no wrong mark.
Oh, I like that.
In art. Just have to get out and do it. I hear people say, oh, I can't draw or I can't paint. I'd love to do it. Just start doing it because there's no mistakes. And it might lead you somewhere.
There's a feeling that accompanies the surprise at your own expression,
mm-hmm.
isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, how is that for you?
Sometimes things, I can't even believe that I made it, as if somebody else had a hold of my hand. And then there are other times that the finished product isn't so great, but I hang on to them if they're, and keep them for myself, because when I look at it, I am reminded, or I feel the sensation of when I made it, and it might be because I was very calm or I was very happy. And just looking at that work again puts me in that place.
So it's like an anchor for you.
It is.
Uh-huh. That is amazing. Wow. That's inspiring, actually.
Good.
What a beautiful
Good.
Thing. What
Thank
a beautiful,
you.
Beautiful thing. Well, it's been such a pleasure to have shared you with the audience for Simple Life Radio. I'm so tickled that you could take the time out of your day to be here with us.
Thank you so much, Cynthia. It's been really fun, and I love sitting here with you and talking. It's been great.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, well, come on down to Carmel Art Association and say hello to Pamela today from 5 to 7 p.m. Art Association is right across the street from the bookstore, so come on by and say hello. I'll be here with you next Saturday, 4 to 5 on 540 AM. Zabadab, 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 zabadab,